Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. An action-packed hour ahead. And yes, 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 all you hockey fans out there, we are going to talk hockey. I promise. But I don't know jack about it, and I'm not going to disrespect your game. So I'm bringing on Peter Schwartz at 1:20 for our traditional Stanley Cup playoff version of Good Strong Hockey Talk. That's what we're going to do. I have gotten tweet after tweet and all these, when are you going to talk hockey? I'm going to talk hockey, I promise. Better yet, Peter's going to talk hockey. Because he knows what the hell he's talking about. So all you Blue Jackets fans that are really excited because you're up 2-0 in the series against the Caps, you will get yours, I promise you, okay? And it's going to be good, strong hockey talk. No farting around, I promise you. All right? Hand to God. If you're driving a truck right now somewhere in Tucson, Arizona, and you need to hear your hockey, you wait until 1:20 a.m. Eastern, you're going to get a huge fix of it. Put your hand in the air as you drive, one hand in the air, and we will raise our hands together. I solemnly swear on the studios of the Quicken Loans Studios at CBS Sports Radio, we will talk hockey at 1:20 a.m. Eastern. Peter will be with us. I promise you, that's going to happen. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Also, Fair or Foul coming up at 12:20 a.m. Eastern. And our first release of the mock draft. We have two releases of the mock draft. This is the first one because I wouldn't say it's haphazard. There's still some kinks I got to work out of it, I think, just because I have an interesting trade up at the top. But I still have some things that just... that have to get worked out because I there's some players that I really like and some players that I question about going to some of these teams, but we'll get to that coming up at 12:40 a.m. Eastern, all right? So don't yell at me if you don't like the player your team's taking. It's just the first mock draft. I'm sorry for being so nasty about it. I apologize. We just had Dave Schilling on, who is from Bleacher Report. You wouldn't happen to have that audio yet, do you, Stu? Not yet. Well, I kind of hope you never get to play that again. Because I'll tell you what, this is one of those weird times that as a fan, I'm trying to talk myself off the ledge a little bit, but after game one between the Cavs and Indiana Pacers, I'll speak to you as a fan here just for a moment, is that it's been real nice, it's been fun, it has been a surreal experience to have LeBron James back in Cleveland. If they lose to the Indiana Pacers, though, in this first round series, I don't know if he's as good as gone, but there's a hell of a good chance that LeBron James is gone. Because this is maybe the worst possible scenario that you could work out. And I'm the first person who thinks if Kyrie would have stayed, you still wouldn't have had Kyrie for this series anyway. But this is something that LeBron, and part of it's caused by himself, this is something that LeBron has had to battle with his entire career, with the exception of one player, and he even had to battle it with that one player while he was in Miami being Dwayne Wade. Because at the end with Dwayne Wade, and you know what we were thinking with that, shorter career, the bumps were too much, he had taken so much contact, his body, he had become bigger, he had become slower. He seemed to be a little out of shape because he kept getting injured, so he kept having to work himself into basketball shape. It looked like it was going to be a shorter career for Dwayne Wade. We thought Chris Bosh was going to play, and obviously those were sad circumstances, but we thought Chris Bosh was going to play way longer than Dwayne Wade. And Dwayne Wade's body has changed, and he's been able to change his game as well, and has had some very nice seasons here as of late. But you could even see that at the end in Miami. And where he's been when he left Cleveland in 2010, when he left Miami in 2014, and now up in question in 2018, what has happened? And this has always been a curse, partly that he has caused, but also a curse that guys have been around with him, because you don't play with LeBron. You play for LeBron. Kyrie was playing for LeBron. He no longer wanted to play for LeBron. He wanted to play for himself in a different city, and he moved out to Boston. Dwayne Wade's the only guy who never played for LeBron. He always played with him. And even at the end, because he was banged up, it kind of changed, and then LeBron had to go. Because so many players, and this is what's so difficult to be the very top-end player in the NBA, and to be the type of stature, the type of physical stature that LeBron is. See, Steph Curry has it perfect, and more coming up about him in a second. But Steph Curry has it perfect, where LeBron, it almost becomes a curse that you're so big, so physical, you can do whatever you want to on a basketball floor. Because guys start to take you for granted. And then when you won a championship, and I don't think it would still be the case if the Cavs had not a won in 2016, but honestly, with the possibilities of any injury at any given time for Kevin Love, whatever Kyrie Irving wanted to do, Houston with Golden State as well, thank God they did for Cavs fans. Thank God they cashed in, and the way they cashed in made it that much sweeter. But to put it back in the canon, I'm talking the confetti, the feeling to repeat. And Schilling alluded to this a little bit when we just talked to him about 20 minutes ago. That's, I think, the hardest thing to do in sports. Winning, it's very hard. Putting together a championship team is extremely difficult in all professional sports. To repeat is something to me that's almost impossible to do. And I mean that sincerely. Because when you look at a LeBron James caliber basketball team, when you look at any team that he's ever been on, and that even includes a little bit from Miami, how many of those guys are Hall of Famers with him? Dwayne Wade, definitely. I can give you an argument for Bosch. Kyrie, more than likely, will be in the future. Kevin Love, maybe. But a lot of those guys, not multiple time champions, veterans who want to play around LeBron, guys who want to kind of be with LeBron, guys who have gotten to know him for a while, but the superstar and the guys who want to play with him, it's a little bit difficult. And when you win a championship, where's the motivation after that? Look at J.R. Smith now. Look at what Tristan Thompson has become. Look at Amon Shumpert before they traded him. Go back to the first time in 2010 with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look at the surrounding cast that he had around him in 2010. Even in the season they went to the finals and got swept by the San Antonio Spurs in 2007. Can you name me other players other than Zydrunas Ilgauskas on that roster? Larry Hughes didn't want to be around. You had really rough pieces around him. And you have guys now, they've been paid. Tristan Thompson has his $82 million. He wasn't the problem tonight. He's been an up-and-down problem throughout the season, playing through some injuries and just inconsistently as well. But you have either guys who have been around for so long that they're not Hall of Famers, they're not All-Stars, they've already been paid their massive contract, the biggest contract that they're going to get. J.R. Smith is not going to get another $57 million contract over 4 years. Tristan Thompson's certainly not going to get another $82 million contract. You're not a Hall of Famer, you're not an All-Star. What's left? You've won your championship. What's left? For LeBron, there is a toe-to-toe fight with James Harden. There's a toe-to-toe fight with what's going on in Golden State and obviously in Houston. And there's a toe-to-toe fight with a guy whose career ended over a decade ago in Michael Jordan. So he has skin in the game. He has a lot at stake. But for the teammates, and they could say, well, we're here for it. We're here to compete. You can say one thing and mean another. I say almost every single Monday, friends, today's going to be the day. I'm going to eat rice cakes. I'm going to get on the elliptical. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to look good. And then by about 10:05 Eastern after the show, and my tummy starts to a rumbling, and I think, man, Dollar Menu sounds really, really good right now. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to be about it. And he's had to live through that curse throughout his entire career. And that, you know what? If you're one of the Kobe people, that might be an argument for you, because Kobe certainly would not accept that from anybody on that basketball team. Maybe a different era. He didn't have to take on a team like Golden State. I understand that. Or a team like what we're seeing in Houston. I get that as well. But he never accepted that. And if there was a time where Kobe had to go and Kobe cussed out Mitch Kupchak in practice, he made Jeremy Lin cry in practice. If there were guys, and he could be a real nasty individual to a fault, and demanded trades and called into radio shows saying he didn't want to be a Laker anymore. But boy, he got his way when he wanted it, didn't he? And they won championships. So you can take the good with the bad, but there's some times where the passive aggressiveness of LeBron gets in his own way. And this is where I think that Steph Curry almost has the perfect mix, because he's not big enough and he's just enough of a threat where guys have to take themselves seriously around him. And that's why I thought that Golden State had to do what they did yesterday, and why Draymond Green was actually right. So many people think that, and I thought this last year, where Draymond Green makes things up where, oh, they're all against us, the world's against us, everybody thinks that we're going to lose this year, that it's going to be bad again this year. And I thought, no, just like what I thought before and the year before that. I didn't think that way with Golden State, and I thought that he was making it up to keep himself motivated, to keep the team motivated, because it's such an easy thing to put a chip on your shoulder, to be calling yourself an underdog, to work for it instead of protect it. But I actually thought that way this year, because Steph Curry is the heart and soul of Golden State. Kevin Durant's a good player. He's uneven. He gives into anger, gives into frustration, certainly cares, shouldn't care, certainly cares what the media thinks about him. The fake Twitter and everything like that, you can definitely get under Kevin Durant's skin. There's been times where Steph Curry's lost his cool. He's only human. Every player has lost their cool at times. We remember what happened in the finals. But really, who's the heart and soul of that basketball team? That's why they had to go out, play a team like San Antonio with a cold, calculated leader like Greg Popovich in a game where people were thinking that, man, San Antonio, they'll lose this series, but they might be able to upset him in that first game. They had to not only go out in that game and not only win, they had to go out and trounce San Antonio. To the point where people are wondering about Kawhi Leonard, which people already were, Greg Popovich's future, whether or not it's even worth it for San Antonio, and whether we are finally closing the book on what's been an absurd chapter of golden greatness throughout the history of basketball. In one game, we're doing that. Overreaction? Absolutely, to certain degrees. But the truth, Golden State had to make that statement. Had to make that statement to show that they're still king of the mountain, even without Steph Curry, that they're still coming for everybody, that it's Houston that has to take it from them. That James Harden can score all the points he wants and do everything that he wants to, but the road to a championship still has to go through Golden State. They absolutely had to make a statement in yesterday's game. They absolutely have to railroad San Antonio and look as good as they can. Because only then will it pay off. Will they have taken a page out of LeBron's book and taken a page out of what other great teams have done, where the regular season doesn't matter as much to them because they're built for the postseason? Houston has had to win a ton of games during this regular season to build up confidence, to build up their character, to build up the effort, to make sure that they're confident going in, to do what's necessary to do. They had to win a ton of games. Golden State, they've been there a million times before. They'll be back there over the next couple of years more than likely. They don't have to do those sort of things. But when you get to the postseason, when you're playing a team like San Antonio, Golden State had to make that statement yesterday, and they did so in wonderful fashion. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'll tell you why later on, where I'll fight the good fight for LeBron. He'll never be an MVP again, though. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter who I beg. Coming up next, though, it's Farrah Fallon, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carman Show. It's time to find out whose side Ken Carman is on in this week's edition of Fair or Foul.
Mock Draft 1.0 coming up in less than 20. Right now, it's Stu. It's time for Fair or Foul. Go ahead, Stu.
All right, Ken. Earlier this week in college football, Ole Miss decided to reject Shea Patterson's request to transfer to Michigan. Patterson originally transferred to Michigan in December, and he petitioned that the NCAA waive its one-year transfer waiting period, claiming that Ole Miss coaches lied to him about how much trouble the school is with the NCAA. Fair or foul, Patterson and other college players should be allowed to transfer where they want without schools being able to block them.
Is he in the SEC? Would he be in the SEC?
He would not. No. He would be in the Big Ten.
No. That's the only thing I think could get in the way, and I get... Oh. I can't guarantee. Let me go around the room. I don't know if Ike was even paying attention, but let me throw this out here. Is it believable a school like Ole Miss would lie to Shea Patterson about being in as much trouble as they were in because of the NCAA? Ike?
Yeah, it's believable.
Stu?
I would say it's most likely, yes, of course.
I would say it, yes. I would say it's most likely and believable. I think that, Ole Miss is one of those schools. If Ole Miss is good at football, just assume they're doing something under the cover. Just assume it. They've done this before. The last time that they were any good, and I don't, you know, were they okay with Eli Manning? They might have been okay with Eli Manning. So unless the last name is Manning, anytime they're any good at football, just assume they're doing something bad. Assume something poor is going on. Like Laramie Tunsil can't stop naming names when you ask him. So just assume it. It is one of those schools that they're not meant to be good at football in the SEC. They're just not one of those top SEC football schools. Maybe you Ole Miss can be a good baseball school. I think they have a good baseball program. Basketball's whatever. I'm sure they got other good things that they do down at Ole Miss. But football, it's just not one of them. You have Alabama there. You have Auburn there. You got Georgia there. You got so on and so forth. No, it's just not in the cards. So anytime you have a 10-win season or anything of that nature, I'm just assume you're cheating in some fashion. So you're going to ruin a possibility for a kid like Shea Patterson to go up to Michigan and be a quarterback for Jim Harbaugh, which is something that Jim Harbaugh desperately needs. Now, I don't mean to be overly Jay Billis-y, where we got to pay the kids and we got to do... No. There's a give and take here. But if we're talking about capitalism and free markets here, I think that if you wanted to keep him out of the SEC, you could say, hey, you can transfer anywhere but the SEC. That's fair. Or even if to the point of, hey, you got to stay out of the SEC West. Maybe that's the better part of it. But come on, it's the Big Ten. Let him go up there and play. Let him go be the quarterback that Michigan needs him to be, for crying out loud. This is as dumb as it can possibly be. I can transfer schools willy-nilly if I'm allowed to get in. Why can't a football player? Next.
The Ben Simmons.
Foul, by the way. It's absolutely foul.
The Ben Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell Rookie of the Year debate was in full force this week. It started when Simmons said this week that he was 100% the Rookie of the Year and that no other rookies caught his eye. The next day, Mitchell threw some shade at Simmons as he wore a shirt defining the word rookie like you would see in a dictionary. Fair or foul? Ben Simmons is the Rookie of the Year, and it isn't even close.
Foul. What year is Ben Simmons in? How many years has he been getting paid?
2 years.
2 years. That is not a rookie. By the letter of the law, by the what I read on the hoodie that Donovan Mitchell was wearing, he is not a rookie. He is a second-year player. He has been getting paid to play professional basketball for 2 years. Donovan Mitchell has been getting paid for less than an entire year. Donovan Mitchell is the Rookie of the Year. He might be the best second-year player. I'm sorry, son, but when you got banged up, you gave into that. You can't be Rookie of the Year. I can't just make this up willy-nilly. I did the same thing with Ichiro. I said I've used willy-nilly twice now. I won't make it a third, I promise. We did the same thing with Ichiro. You played professional baseball over in Japan for X number of years, like Shohei Ohtani. You played professional baseball for a while. Now, I think I might relent about that because it is at a different level. It is a different level of professional baseball. But in the NBA, wasn't like he was playing in Europe. This is the NBA. You might have gotten banged up. I'm sorry. It sucks to be you. You're in your second year of drawing a paycheck from the NBA. You are a second-year player. You are not a rookie. Donovan Mitchell is the rookie. And Donovan Mitchell would in turn be the Rookie of the Year. Next.
Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni had some interesting comments this week when he said that...
Hold on. Are you laughing as you read these things?
I like how passionate you are.
What are you laughing about?
I just love the passion. No, I think it's very good. The passion you have for the topic is very good.
It's not fake. It's a second year player. What? Because you want the fake? You want the fake trophy that bad? I'm sorry. There will always be an asterisk next to your name. If Mark McGwire can't get into the Hall of Fame, then you know what? Ben Simmons can't be Rookie of the Year. There will always be an asterisk in my book. Next.
Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni made some interesting comments this week when he said that the team's season won't be defined by what they do in the playoffs. The Rockets, of course, won 65 games, the most in the NBA this year. Fair or foul, it's championship or bust this year for the Rockets.
Honestly, that all depends. That might be fair. If they lose to Golden State, is anybody going to say boo about it? I'm asking a question, seriously. How many people are going to get all in a snit with Houston if they lose to Golden State? Now, if they get over Golden State, they're a 65-win team, and say they lose to, Philly in the NBA Finals, then yeah, it's absolutely championship or bust, because you would be a monstrous favorite in that series. And you would to be beaten like that in a series, in a seven-game series, it'd be one of the greatest upsets ever. One of the greatest upsets in NBA history, maybe one of the greatest upsets ever. Because I think Philly's got what it takes to come out of the East. You can call me high. That's fine. I think they got what it takes. And that could be a good team for a very long period of time. Credit to Sam Hinkie. A little bit of credit to Sam Hinkie. Got to give him some credit. But I think that all depends. If they lose to Golden State, hey, you lost to Golden State. That's fine. If you get to the finals and you lose to one of those teams in the East, you bet your ass it's championship or bust. They better be ready to hoist another trophy or hoist another banner if they get back to the NBA Finals. Because if they don't, that is a monumental collapse. Next.
At Tuesday afternoon's game between the White Sox and Rays in Chicago, it was cold, rainy, and a game between two subpar teams, and the attendance showed. A reported 974 fans actually showed up to the game. This weekend, bad weather has ravaged through most of the Midwest part of the country and has led to several postponements, including six on Sunday alone. Fair or foul, the MLB season should be shorter and start later.
I don't know if it needs to be shorter because you want to have the same amount of gate. And so once you open up the door to more games, it's hard to really retract that. I think that the calendar, though, should be shorter. I think that they should play, and I'm sure there's a way you could rotate this. If we can find ways to have interleague play all year long, I'm sure we can find ways to have traditional doubleheaders. Can't you make more money? And guys who say, well, you can't make as much money, and I'm sure there's other factors that lead into it. What's going to make you more money? A doubleheader at home in June or a game where 974 people show up in early April? Which one?
Doubleheader for sure.
I think the doubleheader is going to make you more money in most of these cities. It's been a off-the-tracks weather pattern here because the Indians didn't get two of their games in this weekend. And just from where I'm at, and they're going up to Minnesota, I don't know if they're going to play at all up there. Got to take a look at the weather, but I think it might be snowing in Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken, up there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they had a bunch of snow this weekend.
All right, well, good luck playing in that one then. So it could be a week now. I would rather wait. It's April 16th, so we might still be battling this issue. I'd rather wait a few weeks, a couple of weeks to 3 weeks even. Start Major League Baseball a little bit later. I mean, I know pitchers and catchers would have to report a little bit later. Truncate the season a little bit more. Keep the same amount of games. Play traditional doubleheaders on the weekend. Do a 1 p.m. game and a 7 p.m. game. And I know there might be some strains and sore arms and whatever, but that's a grind. And you're going to have to deal with it if you want to keep that amount of games and make a little bit better a gate. Because 974, it's not even worth opening up the building. How many is that guaranteed rate stadium? How many does that hold? 40,000? 974 actual people in attendance? I know the paid is different. 974 people. That's stupid. That's an embarrassment. You shouldn't have to deal with that. Move the season back a couple of weeks, playing a little bit better of weather. And I know people will bring up, well, what about the World Series in November? That's for a World Series. I think you're willing to deal with that. That's part of the mystique, playing in cold weather. In April, when it's supposed to be springing, and half the country is buried in snow like they're dealing up with in Minnesota and in Wisconsin right now, that's just annoying. Is that it?
That is it.
Wonderful job as always, Stu. You're supposed to say thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Ken.
There you go, Stu. Coming up next.
He yelled damn straight back here.
Thank you very much, Ike. You too. You're doing a wonderful job as well. We talk hockey at 120. I promise you. Coming up next, though, Mock Draft 1.0. Stu is an Oakland Raiders fan. Ike is a Jets fan. Peter is a Jets fan. Who are their teams taking? I take a stab at it. Coming up next on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Stu, go ahead and hit it.
We're going to do this f***ing thing over again because I just f***ed it up.
Yeah, in the words of Burt Blylevin, somebody corrected me here. I was wrong about where the Indians and Twins are going to play. Total brain fart. They're playing in Puerto Rico. So they should be able to get those two games in. Totally messed that one up. Total brain fart. My apologies, America. Yes, they're playing in Puerto Rico here on the 17th and 18th. Are we ready now for the Mock Draft 1.0, Stu? All right, Stu, go ahead, fire it up. All right, my mock draft 1.0. Now, it's 1.0. 2.0, the final mock draft comes out next Sunday. I'm sure you'll be waiting with bated breath. This is about what I would do if I were these teams and a little bit of what I think is going to do it. So it's about 50-50. And because it's 1.0, you might want to call it a little bit of a rough draft because there are a couple of twists in here. So without further ado, The first pick, Stu?
The Cleveland Browns.
I think all of it is not a smokescreen, but I think that the Cleveland Browns will come to their senses on Josh Allen or Sam Darnold. I do believe that the Cleveland Browns will pick Sam Darnold, quarterback, USC, number one overall. If it comes down to trust, like Albert Breer had written in Monday Morning Quarterback last week, I don't know how you can trust Josh Allen more. I don't know how you can trust what your tenuous coaching situation could be, your questionable quarterback could be. I don't know how you could trust Josh Allen over Sam Darnold. If you're taking a quarterback number one, you can make an argument for Rosen. You can make an argument for Baker Mayfield. I do not believe Josh Allen is in that argument. It's Sam Darnold, number one overall to the Cleveland Browns. Next.
The New York Giants.
Josh Rosen, quarterback, UCLA. Dave Gettleman has to pick the next guy. When's the next time you're going to pick that low? Pick the next guy. Pick Josh Rosen. Next.
The New York Jets.
Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Oklahoma, the Jets. Mayfield, you want some panache? You got some panache. Hey, Ike, real quick.
Yes.
Ike, you like that? You don't like that? What do you think?
That's awful. Baker in New York's disgusting.
Well, sorry, you're going to eat it. Need it hard, Ike. Next.
The Cleveland Browns.
I think there might be a trade here. Now, I think that the Browns will be on the phones for that number four pick. I don't know, and I think Buffalo is going to have to move up another spot, another few spots to be able to move up to four to be able to pick a quarterback, because I don't think that the Browns are going to move all the way back to 12. Because I don't know if you're, when you go from four to 12, you go from top five to starting to get to the meaty middle. I don't know if the Browns expect to be that bad next year. I don't know who they're trading with Buffalo expects to be that bad next year. So you're going to look at this and think, well, what are you getting back on value for the next season? You can get a tremendous playmaker here. This is why I think that Denver trades up to four and they take Josh Allen, quarterback, Wyoming. John Elway is a big quarterback. He likes big, strong-arm quarterbacks. They can give him some time. There is a better team around him. Now, I understand that I worry about Vance Joseph and his future, too, but you can give him a better situation, and you have a pretty good quarterback coach there and your general manager in John Elway if you need to do it that way. So, pick five. Go ahead and hit Denver if you want to.
The Denver Broncos.
This is where I think Cleveland picks. I think Cleveland's only going to be able to move down one spot or would want to move down one spot. I say Bradley Chubb, defensive end, OLB, NC State. You put them in a three-man rotation with what they have with Emmanuel Agba and Myles Garrett. You don't think that every single guy is going to stay healthy, but you take away time from an opposing passer, making your secondary better. They have augmented that a bit during their free agency period. You make that defense a lot better. You take away that time. You get that way, and you go if you're the Cleveland Browns. Next.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State, good all-around back, best all-around back in this scenario, and I think a perennial Pro Bowler. Next.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Derwin James stays in Florida, safety, Florida State. He goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Next.
The Chicago Bears.
This one is shooting fish in a barrel. Notre Dame's own Quentin Nelson, the guard, he goes to the Chicago Bears. Bears fans, most of them are Notre Dame fans anyway. They love him anyway. Good, strong offensive lineman. If you needed him to, I worry about this. I think it's a lot harder than what people try to make it out to be. You could kick him out, but I would try to keep him in there at that guard position, be a good, strong guard, and have some good protection for Mitch Trubisky. Next.
The San Francisco 49ers.
This one's an interesting one. Some people thought they could go with Roquan Smith. Some people thought they could go Denzel Ward there. I think that Minka Fitzpatrick is being undersold for his intelligence and the way he can play in that secondary and what he can do with playing both positions. I think that San Francisco can go with Minka Fitzpatrick, safety cornerback out of Alabama. Next.
The Oakland Raiders.
Stu, you listening?
I am.
You listening, Stu?
I am, very much
so. All right.
So.
What about Roquan Smith? You like him?
That's a guy I want, definitely.
Okay, you're not getting. No, I'm kidding. You're definitely getting Roquan Smith. Linebacker, Georgia. Love the way this guy's played sideline to sideline. When I watched him at Georgia, I think he'd be fantastic in Oakland. I'm going to take him number 10 overall to the Oakland Raiders. Next!
The Miami Dolphins.
Interesting one because they're working out quarterbacks, but I still think they wait another year. I think they take Tremaine Edmonds, a linebacker out of Virginia Tech, try to help out that defense the best they can. Next.
The Buffalo Bills.
They want a quarterback so bad, but I don't think they have what it takes to move up. So at 12, you have A.J. McCarron there. Some people think quarterback here. I think they're going to take BPA. I know I'm going to catch some flack here. I think it's Denzel Ward, the cornerback out of Ohio State. I think he's there at 12, and Buffalo takes him. Next.
The Washington Redskins.
People have Vita Vea going to the Arizona Cardinals at number 15. I think he goes number 13 to Washington from, of course, Washington State, or the college, University of Washington, but from the state of Washington. You understand what I'm saying here. And goes to the Washington Redskins and becomes a run-stuffing defensive tackle for them. Next.
The Green Bay Packers.
They need a defensive end. They need a linebacker. They get Harold Landry. He can do both. Boston College, been a nice four-year player for Boston College. I think they get him, and they insert him in a defense that's going to need him. Next.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Give me Daron Payne, defensive tackle, Alabama, continuing to try to build that defense in the right situation. Next.
The Baltimore Ravens.
First wide receiver off the board. Now, I worry about Baltimore and their drafting on the offensive side because they've taken stabs and they've missed. Defensively, they've done a pretty nice job. But I think it's Calvin Ridley, wide receiver, Alabama to the Baltimore Ravens. Next.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Mike McGlinchey, the second Notre Dame offensive lineman off the board. He goes to the L.A. Chargers. They've had some offensive line woes. They've needed to really make some changes because of Barksdale. I think that they take Mike McGlinchey. Next.
The Seattle Seahawks.
Another team that needs an offensive lineman. This guy, though, I don't want to use the word tweener, but I still think he can be good. Isaiah Wynn, guard out of Georgia. I think he ends up in Seattle. Next.
The Dallas Cowboys.
This is a wild card here because so many people are thinking linebacker. Dez is gone. Jerry, what are you going to do here? You going to take a linebacker? Because I think you might be thinking wide receiver. I think you might be thinking Cortland Sutton, wide receiver out of SMU, right there in your area there, Jarrah. I think he's going to pull that trigger. Next.
The Detroit Lions.
Marcus Davenport, defensive end, University of Texas San Antonio, which is odd because I'm going to bring up his rival next.
The Cincinnati Bengals.
See, I still don't know about this pick, and this might change next week because they give up an offensive lineman to move back in the draft or to get in the draft. They give up that offensive lineman, or they get an offensive lineman, and they're going to get an offensive lineman, I should say. I think they will take, though, Will Hernandez to solidify things a little bit better. Guard, UTEP, love the way he plays. Looks like a great big cat out there. I think they'll take him and try to solidify that guard tackle spot and do their very best because I think Cordy Glenn's a little bit better than what people want to give him. I just think he's a bit banged up. Next.
The Buffalo Bills.
Okay. This is one where I think desperation gets him. I'm going to take Lamar Jackson, quarterback, Louisville to Buffalo. Stu, yes or no? You like that or not?
Yeah, I think that's a good spot for him in the early 20s, yeah.
I know that if they like a quarterback, it's a quarterback, so you take him at 12. But I think that he could fall down to Buffalo at 22. So I think that that one might get him where, man, we need a quarterback. We didn't like him the first time around, but now he's the one that's there. We could groom him if we want to. We could do a lot of things with him. There's a lot of upside with Lamar. I think they'll take Lamar Jackson partly because of the desperation. Best fit? Who knows? But I think that they're going to take him right there at number 22. Number 23.
The New England Patriots.
Courtesy of the trade, Colton Miller, left tackle, UCLA. Next.
The Carolina Panthers.
Dane Brugler said DJ Moore reminds him of Steve Smith. I think he does too. I'm putting DJ Moore down, wide receiver out of Maryland. Next.
The Tennessee Titans.
I'm going to take Leighton Vander Esch, linebacker out of Boise State. Do a lot of good things up in the box if you really need him to. I think he might end up switching to maybe a strong side guy or sticking in a strong side guy, depending on what you saw at Boise State. I'm going to take him with Tennessee with their new uniforms. Next.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Everybody has him going, Jair Alexander, the cornerback out of Louisville, going to Atlanta. So, you know what? I'm just going to agree with everybody. I think that one could work out very, very nicely for them. So I'll put him there. Next.
the New Orleans Saints.
I tossed and I turned because they've gone cornerback early before. And I think New Orleans goes cornerback early again. I'll take Josh Jackson, cornerback out of Iowa, number 27 overall to the New Orleans Saints. Next.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Because of what's happened with Ryan Shazier, I think they go back to linebacker. I'll say Rashawn Evans, linebacker, Alabama. Next.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
I wanted to put a wide receiver in there, but I don't know if I want to give Blake Bortles another piece. Defensive line, they've looked good. Maybe a little bit of help in the second. You know what? I still say Connor Williams, offensive lineman, Texas, goes to Jacksonville at 29. Next.
The Minnesota Vikings.
This one, an interesting one. As long as the doctor gives his orders and said everything's good, and so far we know that things, I think, are. Maurice Hurst, defensive tackle, Michigan, nice run stopper, good playmaker, and could be a steal there at number 30. Next.
The New England Patriots.
I think Isaiah Oliver is a first-round cornerback, and he goes to New England out of Colorado. Next.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Final one. Philly, you get another running back. It could be Jay Ajayi's final year. Darius Geis, running back, LSU. Stu, what'd you think?
I liked it. I liked a lot of the picks. I really liked the Roquan Smith pick to the Raiders. That's my favorite one.
I tell you what, you're getting a hell of a ball player there with Roquan Smith. Ike's mad at me because I put Baker Mayfield with the New York Jets, aren't you? What's the matter? What's wrong with him?
I don't think it's a good mix in New York with Baker.
Stu. Or Ike, come on. Who do you want?
Bowles is too much of a cookie-cutter coach to have some...
Cookie-cutter coach.
Yeah.
Who do you want?
Didn't even take a chance to let Hackenberg get a snap out there. Going to let Baker run his franchise?
Who do you want?
Chosen Rosen, baby.
You want Josh Rosen? Well, can you trade up with the Giants to get him? Because I'm going number 2 to the Giants.
I don't think the Giants are going to get him.
Who do you think the Giants are going to take?
Barkley.
All right. Well, I know they could go another year. That could be a wild card. But I think if Rosen's there, I think they could find themselves talking themselves into taking Rosen, the heir apparent. Because when are you going to draft this highly again for a good quarterback and a guy who can sit and learn? 855-212-4CBS 120. We have Good Strong Hockey Talk with Peter Schwartz coming up next. I'll fight the good fight for LeBron. He's never going to be an MVP again, though. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.